There are certain times in our life when there's nothing left for us to do than just cut our losses and go back home. Sometimes it's after college, when you're saving up enough money to live on your own. You know those kids that'll never leave, or so it seems. Sometimes it's after you lose a job, when you have no way to support yourself for a time, you have to go back home. Sometimes it's after a relationship ends and you need a safe place to go and get your life back together. For so many of us, I think home is and always will be that place where we are welcome back. You know, kind of like Cheers, right? You're always welcome. Where you're loved unconditionally, where you can go and find peace and comfort in the midst of storm. Even when our physical home is gone, the very thought and warmth of those memories of home can comfort us. Anyone carry those memories of comfort from the house you grew up in, or maybe your grandma's house or something that always bring you comfort, even if that place is long gone? Now, for two of Jesus' brokenhearted disciples, 3 days after Jesus' death, they had had enough. They were ready to go back home. Life with Jesus in the big city of Jerusalem did not turn out like they thought it would. Things had gotten way out of hand and way too crazy for their liking. And so for those two brokenhearted disciples, whose names we don't even know, there was nothing left to do but cut their losses and go back home. To Emmaus, that was their home, the place for them that represented safety, that represented normal. See, an extraordinary life with Christ, which they had been looking for, proved to be too much to handle. So it was back home to business as usual. And maybe it wasn't too late to settle back into the routine of their ordinary lives that they had left behind to follow Jesus. So after 3 days of doubt and uncertainty, these two followers of Jesus had reached a breaking point. And some strange and hard-to-believe stories of Jesus being alive that they had been hearing from some of the witnesses secondhand were just too good to be true and unlikely. You see, for these two broken-hearted disciples, the pain and the doubt, the uncertainty and the fear of their today was just too much. They craved going back to normal, going back to the known, going back to the way things used to be, to a more simple time and a familiar place. They needed a little Emmaus for them right now. Anyone ever feel like you just need a little quiet downtime in that peaceful and safe place that you know? Time to regroup, time to reset their lives, time to think things through, time to plan the next step in what they were going to do. Time to deal with and put behind them the broken dreams and the broken promises that had filled their life on that terrible Friday afternoon when Jesus had died. You all know the old joke about Moses wandering in the wilderness, right? Why did they wander for 40 years? No one knows. Because Moses was a man, and you know how they hate to ask for directions. Well, guess what? You already know how to get to Emmaus. Even you guys know how to get to Emmaus. We all do. Even direction-hating men know how to get there. We all know the way to Emmaus, and we don't need GPS because its location is instinctive. It's embedded in our DNA. There will always be a little Emmaus in each one of us, a desire that starts to well up in us when things get tough, when situations and circumstances in our lives are unpleasant and hard to deal with, when we've had enough and we know we can't handle one more bit of bad news or one more struggle. And that's when that yearning to go home to Emmaus rises in us. That's when the need to find a refuge from the life storms wells up in us. That's when we begin to set our sights on Emmaus. That's when our desire to go back to Emmaus, the place that we know and love, where we're safe and where things are better, run deep. I mean, can you hardly blame these two disciples? What was left for them in Jerusalem after that Friday? only the ashes and tears and shreds of dreams that, after all, as it appears, didn't seem to ever be real. And we can hardly blame them either, right? To make that long journey back to Emmaus when life seems to be throwing nothing but tears and ashes our way, who wouldn't want to escape from that nonsense if they could? Who wouldn't want to journey back to a simpler time and place, to refuge and safety? Who wouldn't want to go back to Emmaus? There's only one little problem. There's only one way to get to Emmaus. It's a geographical fact. You need to turn your back on Jerusalem and start walking northeast for about 7 miles. Jerusalem, the place where God had promised his presence and his glory would always be found. Jerusalem, the city that Jesus longed to gather under his wing, the city that Jesus wept over, the city that Jesus died like a common criminal for. And yes, Jerusalem, the city where that very morning Mary had had the most amazing and joyous reunion with her Lord and Savior in the garden in the early morning. We all know Jerusalem, just like we know Emmaus. It's the place where we've experienced our greatest joys, and too often, maybe where we've lived through some of our most brutal lows as well. Jerusalem is where we live our life in all of its beauty and all of its sadness. But most of all, Jerusalem is where we come to know our Lord and our Savior. Jerusalem is where we are touched, where we are healed, where we're changed forever. We are changed forever by the events in our Jerusalems, good and bad, because that's what Jerusalem is. Now, on that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem, and talking with each other about all these things that had happened. And while they were talking and discussing, Jesus himself came near and went with them, but their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, "What were you discussing with each other while you walk along?" They stood still, looking sad. And one of them said, "Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem who does not know the things that have taken place in these last days?" And he asked them, "What things?" And they replied, "The things about Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and leaders handed him over to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel." And I've said it before, but I think that has got to be the saddest phrase in all of Scripture, all of its thousands of pages, spoken by these men going back to Emmaus. "But we had hoped." Wow. I don't know about you, but I can tell you that if I had a nickel for every time that phrase has been on my mind or in my heart, I would indeed be a rich man. "But I had hoped." Have you said that before? Because there's nothing worse in all the world than the realization that hope has left you and that that was the last thing that you had to hold on to. Know what I'm talking about? That's when it's time to turn your back on Jerusalem and start walking towards Emmaus. See, these two disciples had been through the worst that life had to offer them. They had walked with Jesus and followed him to the bitter end. And they had looked over for a moment at that promised land like Moses could do. And they had seen a glimpse of God's glory in Jesus and majesty just before Jesus died. But they had lost their hope on that Friday. And you and I as well, we've been through times and seasons of pain and sorrow in our lives. And we've looked over at the promised land. We've come to know joy in our Lord as well. I'll let you in on a little secret that those two disciples were about to find out on their walk with Jesus. And I hope and pray that it's a secret that you've already discovered in your walk with Christ. Here it is. You can't go back home again. It's impossible. Once you've been to Jerusalem, once you've been through Calvary and looked down, then you're changed, and you're changed forever. Changed forever by the events that take place in our Jerusalem moments. And going back home can never and will never do. Our walk with Christ has changed us forever. And Emmaus will never be big enough to hold the new life that we've been given in Christ. That's the gospel truth. Once we've tasted the glory of resurrection for ourselves, nothing less will do. What those two disciples were soon to discover is that indeed you cannot go home again, because one encounter with the risen Lord and you're never the same, and you can't go back to business as usual or to the safety and isolation of your Emmaus. Truth is, too often it's the same with us. We forget. We can't always quite accept the good news of resurrection and new life in Christ for ourselves. We don't feel quite it, and we begin to doubt if it is real. Trouble comes along, and we lose our hope, and we say, I had hoped. We forget to stay in Jerusalem and wait for the Lord for those 3 long days. And sometimes we think that we'll never be able to get past that second long day, and we can never survive through that last long night. And we pack our bags and head back to Emmaus, back to the ordinary, and back to the routine. Guess that I'd be negligent if I forgot to mention that Emmaus represents something else in our lives as well. While Emmaus may be where we go when our hope seems to be gone, and where we go to try and get away from our trials and troubles, there's one other thing that it is. And that's the thing that makes all the difference in the world. Just ask those two disciples. Emmaus is also the place where we can count on encountering our risen Lord when we have trouble mustering up our faith or hope. Emmaus is where they found their risen Lord over a broken loaf of bread, of all things. And it's where we rediscover our Lord and Savior in the most commonplace and ordinary things of life. Even in our sadness and hopelessness, it's in our familiar routines, in the common things of everyday life. Maybe even in an encounter with a stranger. You and I, we've been to Jerusalem. We've been to the mountaintop there at Calvary, and we've looked over. And we've seen the promised land, and we know what it is. And going back home is never good enough for us anymore. And when our hope lags and our life journeys take us back to Emmaus, then there is one thing that we can count on, one thing that we can always count on, that our risen Lord will already be there waiting for us, even if it is just in a loaf of bread. Amen.